Hi, in this podcast we look at the concept of sports groups, part of the AQA Fed 3 sports psychology specification. We're going to look at group formation, cohesion, and the factors that may influence the outcome of the group, the results which the sports group achieve. First of all, some definitions. A group is often defined as having a collective identity. The group will wear a team shirt, a team kit, that makes it part of that unique collection of people. And that group will have communication. There'll be interaction. And hopefully, they'll have a shared objective to achieve an outcome or a goal to which they all buy into. A common goal. And the group is formed over a period of time. And as that group is formed, it goes through four stages. These stages you have to learn the terms, and you've got to know them in the order in which they occur. The four stages are forming, storming, norming, and performing. We explain them in the following way. The forming of a group is simply they get to know each other, they get together, and get to know each other's personalities and the roles that they might play. After that initial stage, there might be a storming stage where there's potential conflict within the group. Two players that might play in the same position, vying for that position in the team. Once that conflict is resolved, and that's really down to the expertise of the coach, there comes a norming stage. The team may begin to cooperate, the two players vying for the same position, have perhaps agreed to change or share the role. After the norming stage, the group then begins to perform. They get on with trying to do what they set out to do and achieve their common goals. So those are the four stages of group formation: forming, storming, norming, and performing. The group is often affected by cohesion. And cohesion is often defined as the forces that act that keep the group together. And those forces are split into two categories. There's task cohesion and social cohesion. Task cohesion is result-based. It's about the outcome. Social cohesion concerns how the group get on. It concerns the interaction between the group members. The relationship between the two is extremely important. Social cohesion will help the group work together. It will promote their enjoyment. And certainly the most successful teams in sport display both task and social cohesion. They tend to get the best results. But even if the groups don't get on, if there's no social cohesion, there can still be success within the group in sport, because task cohesion is sometimes more important. And a winning team can operate just on task cohesion alone. If they're committed to the outcome, if they're committed to achieving the goal, then often they'll get the best results. And indeed, task cohesion can often override any social differences or indifferences that may happen within the team. And indeed, there are other factors important in the group success, not just cohesion. So the relationship between task and social cohesion is extremely important. We're now going to look at some of the things that affect cohesion. What things might be present to promote, enhance, or affect the cohesion of the group. And the psychologist Karen identified four things that he called his antecedents. Something that's got to be there before, something that needs to be present for cohesion to happen within the group. The four antecedents are environmental factors, personal factors, leadership factors, and team factors. The environmental factors may look at the demographic, the makeup of the team, the geography of it. And that means the demographic in terms of the population of the team. How many, what age are they, and so on. There are various personal factors that may affect group performance. How well do the people in the team accept their role? How do they accept the challenge? Do the personnel within the team want to strive for success? Are they all willing to achieve the same goal? Leadership factors may concern the style that the leader of the group operates and whether that's the most appropriate style for success. And finally, there are various team factors. How stable is the team? Are there any external threats to the team that may promote them into action? And often such external threats to the team tend to bind them together. So these four factors that affect cohesion, called Karen's antecedents: environment, personal, leadership and team. They are some of the things that may affect cohesion. Cohesion can also be affected by the size and structure of the group. If they're a larger group, there's a greater need for interaction. There's more chance of a concept called social loafing or Ringelmann. And we're going to look at those two concepts in a moment. The bigger the group, there is more chance of motivational losses. And if the group have a mix of gender or age, if those gender or ages are completely different, then that too can affect the cohesion and outcome of the group. The cohesion and productivity of the team was looked at by the psychologist Steiner, and he identified a model of group or team performance. And we'll look at that model now. And what it suggests is the actual productivity of the team is equal to the potential minus the losses due to faulty processes. The actual productivity means the result, what the group actually achieves. Have we won the hockey match 1-0? Did we win the netball tournament? And that actual result was equal to the best our group or team could ever have played if we give our ultimate number one performance. And usually in sport, the better teams are the ones with the better players that interact more efficiently. But take away from that maximum performance are some losses due to faulty processes. And those losses due to faulty processes are very important. And we're going to identify three faulty processes. They are coordination problems, and they are motivational losses, which include social loafing and the Ringelmann effect. In other words, the faulty processes: coordination, social loafing, Ringelmann. What are coordination problems? Well, coordination problems are where the team, the coach, the leader gets it wrong. Bad strategies, bad tactics, poor timing, not communicating, misunderstanding the role of the coach. Those things can all take away from the top group performance. What is social loafing? Social loafing is one of two motivational problems within the team. Social loafing may happen when the team simply don't produce the best. It's one individual within the team that doesn't seem to try, that gives up. Now, why might someone within the team stop trying? They might have lost faith in their ability. They might think that their effort isn't going to change the result. If you're losing 6-0 and there's only 3 minutes to go, you might think, well, I'm not going to bother anymore. You might think that you can not try because others within the group will try for you. They'll cover for your lack of effort. There's been no reinforcement within the team. No rewards on offer. You may not have a good leader. You may indeed have a negative attitude as an individual. All those things can cause you to be a social loafer. Someone within the team that simply doesn't try, that gives up. Social loafing isn't good, so what can we do about it? Well, you can begin to highlight individual performance. You can use statistics. You can use peer group pressure. You can set goals for your team. And those goals have to be challenging. They have to be re-evaluated. They have to be both individual and team goals. We can give people specific roles within the team. Now, all these strategies that prevent social loafing can therefore help to promote the concept of cohesion, The more cohesive the team, the better the performance. There can also be a loss in the group due to something called the Ringelmann effect. And this was studied by the psychologist Ringelmann, and what he suggested was the greater the team, the more numbers there are, the less the collective effort. He actually studied tug of war, and he found that when he measured the force of individuals, their individual effort was far greater than when their effort was measured when those individuals were part of a team or group. And the bigger the team, the less the effort. So he concluded that the more people there are, the more likely it is that people will begin not to try. Okay, so cohesion, task and social, not always a good thing, can really affect team performance. What can we do about it? Well, we've already looked at some ways that you can prevent social loafing. We'll sum those up now by looking at ways that you can also promote cohesion within the team. A goal-setting strategy. Make the goals specific. Make them realistic. Agree them with the performer. Involve everybody in team meetings. That way you might be able to resolve conflict. If you do that, you may remember, you may be able to move very quickly from the storming stage of group formation into what we might call the norming stage, where people are getting on. Make sure people accept their roles. Make their roles clear. That's indeed one of the things that Karen identified in his antecedents. Give motivational strategies, rewards, praise, the player of the match award. Talk to individuals after the game and highlight their individual performance. Tell them what they did well. Point out the statistics that prove that they've played particularly well. Maintain open lines of communication. Again, that helps to resolve conflicts and it resolves those coordination problems. Talk to the senior players in the team. Get them to talk to other players so the lines of communication within the group are open. And finally, make your tactic clear. That again will solve those coordination problems. As coaches and players, tactics should be clear, understood and well rehearsed. And if you do those things, you're more likely to get the top group or team performance. Okay, well, thank you for listening to the podcast. I hope you've understood some of the concepts we've tried to introduce today. We've looked at a group. We've looked at how it's formed. We've looked at the things that affect group. And in particular, we've focused on the concept of cohesion, the difference between task and social, and that very important concept of working together in a group called cohesion and the things that affect it.